Dear friends, some talks we never forget. In this story, it was Anna who was frozen, not Elsa. I think if I were a family member or friend of Anna Bagholm from Sweden, I would not have been able to believe her survival story. It was in 1999 that Anna was skiing in Norway. An expert skier, she somehow lost her balance and came down a steep embankment into water. When she landed, it was so hard on the ice that it cracked, and she was laying backwards and slid down underneath the ice. Fortunately, she found an air pocket and was able to breathe underneath that water for 40 minutes. But finally, hypothermia set in. When her friends found her, she was stuck in the ice and it had to be broken open. It was 8 inches thick. Can you imagine the predicament? Her heart actually stopped at 40 minutes in. And for the next 40 minutes, she was underwater. At 80 minutes, they rescued her. And the helicopter arrived, but it took another 100 minutes to get her to the hospital. They did CPR all the way. Amazingly, they took her blood out, warmed it up, put it back in her, put a ventilator on her, and she survived almost a complete recovery. You know, that kind of information, when you get that talk would be hard for it to soak in. So when Jesus said what he said, did it register with them? Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and to enter his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As Zach just sang, thy strong word. Let's take this talk for a walk. You know how you say, I'm going to take a walk, or I'm going to take the dog for a walk? Well, this one is way higher than that kind of an experience. Let the word work on your heart. Luke tells us that this sad trip back to Emmaus, their hometown, was a 7-mile hike. That means that there was about 2 hours that they had to interact with each other, to think through the details and express them to each other. They had time to listen to each other. And I love the way Jesus adds in. He approaches this but doesn't let his identity be known. Why? Well, because they could just listen to what he had to say. I've heard that celebrities really enjoy being on an airplane unidentified. They get to sit and have a normal conversation. So Jesus walked along with them and had a normal talk. I would call it somewhat above normal, but he was able to just let the word do its work. Instead of just showing up and they recognized he was the risen Lord, he took them through the scriptures that had said the resurrection was coming, and then they would know the resurrection is real. He meanders up and he pleads ignorance. What are you discussing together as you walk along? They assume that he must be completely thick in the head. You must not be from around here or interested in local things, because how could you miss what's been going on? In fact, all Jesus did was ask a question. It was his entry point into the conversation. You know, we actually don't realize that God is always like this. Have you ever started a prayer, Lord, I'm really struggling here? You don't expect him to respond, do you think I'm an idiot? Do you think I'm not God? I don't know. Do you have to explain? In fact, that's exactly what we learn here. He wants us to review it. He wants us to talk. He will listen to us. He wants us to explain our situation. So they go about explaining to him all that had happened, and he listened. It was their version of things, not accurate, but it was good for them to put it on the table. Have you ever had a child who just learned a Bible passage do this? They speak it out like it's a brand new discovery. Or like my grandchildren will do, they'll sing one of those songs as though it was the very first time it had ever been sung. And doesn't that build your heart up? It brings all kinds of positive emotions to a parent, a grandparent. And where do we get that from? From God. He loves to see our involvement. Sometimes the best thing you can do with people who are struggling is just to ask questions and then listen. Get them to express it. Let them tell how they feel about it, and even as they put it into their own words, they will begin to see it in third person rather than first person. They'll begin to look at it, observe it, and see some other things. In fact, that is the expression God is looking for. God wants us. He wants those around us to express our struggles to Him. Because then we're getting ready for an explanation from Him. It was they, Cleopas and his friend, and we who have some wrong ideas sometimes. Theirs was about redemption. They express it in the words, "We thought that he had come to redeem Israel." Well, we use the word very precisely in catechetics. As we teach the children, the word redeem means to buy back from slavery to sin. But, you know, their idea was that it was going to cost a different blood, the Roman blood. They thought that Jesus would come to bring back the old glory days of David, to bring back the ruling powers on earth. And that wrong idea had misled them. But now, Jesus can deal with it. And that's not all. They had two other things in this text. First of all, it had been the third day since all this had happened. You know, there's a reference that Jesus made to the third day. Not just with Jonah in the fish, but he also said he would rebuild the temple, which was his body. And amazingly, the people who were against him, the Romans, the Jews, they put a guard on the tomb because he had said this. The word used there when they heard the message of the women is the word amazed. Used the same way as Simon in Acts used it when he was able to observe the powers of the disciples. He was amazed, blown away. He called it the great power. And the women were corroborating what had happened, but the disciples didn't get it. So, let's just talk about being frozen. In loss, sometimes we get stuck. That's where they were. They knew he had been crucified, he had died, he was buried, and they were stuck. I've had to, as a pastor, look into the eyes of someone who's lost a spouse, a child. And 3 days later is when the shock really does seem to begin to settle deep. They're in a state of really no words can express. Their world has been shaken, rattled, and turned upside down. And you know, that's what the disciples were feeling, all of them, because they were looking one direction. And here's Jesus talking with them right alongside. So let the good news vanquish your fear. We have to let go of our misperceptions. How foolish you are, says Jesus. And he's not scolding, he's just expressing. How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. And you know, if I have to be told this bluntly, it may cause me to first be a little offended, but to actually now observe what I have said. And if I have to have a dunce cap put on, it might be good. And sometimes shock, surprise, and even a little shame can be tools that God will use as we review what has been said. Because we must let His truth guard our inner being. In fact, this was a beautiful Bible story. As they walked, what would Jesus talk about? We don't have it recorded. Psalm 22 about the prediction of the cross. Did he talk about the power of the resurrection, that there would be no decay like Psalm 16? Or did he focus on the iniquities that were laid upon the Lamb of God, how by his wounds we are healed? Did he focus on the prophecies of specifics, like in Zechariah, where it was recorded the triumphal entry would occur and the 30 pieces of silver to sell him away? As this went on, the disciples listened and learned. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking with us along the road and while he was explaining the scripture to us? That's how they then returned to Jerusalem. You see, Jesus didn't linger long. And once he had broken the bread, as you'll see in our triptych, once he had revealed himself, he disappeared. And then they were up and at him, back on the road to talk to the other disciples. Jesus had spoken with confidence. He said it had to happen this way because the suffering was part of God's plan. Have you ever thought about that? Even with coronavirus and COVID? In our prayers, we'll hear a little bit about that today. God has helped Andrew Bublitz to overcome, and he's back home with the girls, and then another twist in their family. You know, in 1 Peter, our epistle for this Sunday, but not read, it says, "You know that you were redeemed by your empty way of life handed down to you by the forefathers, not by gold or silver, but by the precious blood of Christ." He says, "You know," not "you think." So remember who Jesus is. That is what sears our fear. It is sometimes a disconnect. That we are in the Word, we know what it says, but believing it is the final step accomplished by the Holy Spirit. It often comes when we are a little bit shocked and feel a little bit silly that we haven't seen it. And then all of a sudden, the news opens up and our hearts burn within us. Listen to the Word and remind yourself what it says. You don't have to go asking for all kinds of big events and signs. You know, right here and right now, you just need to remind yourself that the Word has it specifically stated. And what God predicted has already occurred. The disciples were profoundly affected. They said, "Stay with us, since it is almost evening and the day is almost over." And I love that phrase. We sing it in the evening worship service. It's part of the liturgy. "Stay with us, for it is almost nighttime." We want Jesus to comfort us, to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. We need him near us. That's part of the walk. So let's take this talk for a walk. Not just for ourselves, but maybe take someone with us that needs to hear this, that needs to ask some, have us ask some questions, and then let them explain. And then we turn to the scriptures. Can you imagine being Anna's mom when she first heard Anna wake up from being frozen and talk again? Wow, that would be a talk you remember. Jesus showed up when they didn't expect him, and he wants to take a personal walk with us. It shows how close he will come to be by us. It's Isaiah 41 from God's Words translation. "Don't be afraid because I am with you. Don't be intimidated. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will support you with my victorious right hand." That you can count on and believe. Amen.